Hello. Hi, everybody. It's Michelle. Hello?
Hey, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Welcome to the call. Call number two. If you could just maybe say your name and roundabouts where you're calling from so we can put, you know, voices to names.
Hi, Michelle. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Chris. I'm calling from Barcelona in Spain, but I'm from Dublin in Ireland.
Hi, Chris from Barcelona and Dublin. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Good.
Hi, Michelle. This is Will from the United States. I'm in San Diego, but I live in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Will. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, it doesn't look like there's too many people on this call. Anybody else on?
Yeah, I noticed on the Facebook that some people seem to be confused. They seem to believe the call was yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know why, because it's posted as 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and then depending on where you're calling in, your time should pop up. But I posted this afternoon. I posted 2 minutes ago, hoping people will see it and pop on. I don't know. I don't know what the confusion was for the boot camp this month. But the call is recorded so that if you miss the call or if you have to jump off halfway through the call, you'll be able to come back and listen to it. It's usually posted within 24 hours or so. Anybody else on before I get started? Because you guys are having your own, like, kind of little mini one-to-one almost call. So congratulations.
Right.
Hey, you've got Corey from New York as well.
Oh, hi, Corey. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. All right, fellas, here we go. So there's four of us. Maybe people might be popping on in the next few minutes. This call runs approximately an hour. If you've ever heard about me on calls, I am the anxiety therapist. I'm not really the time management therapist. So sometimes we go a little bit over. As long as nobody has anything to do, nobody's ever really complained before about getting more free therapy. So I like to make sure everybody really gets it, especially on a very first call with me. I try and give you all of my little Michelle-ism analogies, ways to describe DARE and how to use DARE. Because for the most part, from what I've heard over all these years, since Barry's had a coaching program, I've been running it for him. So this is year number 11. Usually what is said is, I get it. It makes so much sense. But then there's that big but it's not easy, right? I get it. It's simple, but it's not easy. And so that's why, you know, we have coaching programs like this. Because it makes sense. It makes logical sense. I think most people usually get it, but, right? There's usually that big but. So I'm here to help you with your big but. anybody having, before we really get started, technological problems, access problems, so I can let John know, or sometimes he listens to the first few minutes of the call the next day. Anybody having trouble with anything? No? Good. Well, I guess the people that are having trouble just aren't here. They don't know what time call is for some reason. So a little bit about me. I am a licensed clinical social worker. I am a licensed therapist in New York. I live here in New York. My husband, my three kids, which if you come on to DARE Advance or if you've heard me talk before, I reference my children a lot. I talk a lot about, like, kind of things around us in the world and nature and life with kids, how it's all sort of related to this whole process, that whole idea of fighting things, letting go of the fight, all my little comparisons. It makes things easier when you do little analogies that are a little more down to earth, you know? I've been through it myself. That's usually the question that nobody wants to ask the therapist. And then people will ask me later on. And I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. I kind of always think people just know, but I get it. I've been through it. I felt it. I know it sucks. I know what it feels like. So I hear you. I can always give you my story later on if you'd like to know. I am kind of an open book. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer any questions you have. So what we're doing today, also the call is being recorded. I think I mentioned that before. So if you have any sort of background noise, if you could just put yourself on mute, it's always amplified on the call, and then just unmute yourself. If it starts to get loud and we can't figure out who it is, I have this little screen up here, and I mute whichever number it is, and we'll figure that out. But it sounds like a pretty quiet call. So anyway, I just have, if you guys could bear with me for a few minutes, I have my whole little spiel that I give people when we first talk, just to put in perspective what this all is. And then we'll focus on crutches, which was the challenge for today. Was everybody able to get that information and heard the audios and seen the videos? Barry and Azul, different fancy Dare t-shirts by the fire.
Yeah.
I like the bottle of vodka.
Throw that in there. I heard a couple new voices, though. Did anybody just pop on in the last few minutes just to say hi?
Claudia popped up.
She did.
Oops, sorry. Hi,
yeah,
who's
me
here?
Too.
I'm sorry. You
Claudia,
just say your name
I don't
and
know
where you're calling from.
Can you
Ron,
hear me
Massachusetts.
First?
Oops, I heard Ron from Massachusetts. Hi.
Jennifer from Missouri.
I'm sorry, who's that from Missouri?
Jennifer.
Jennifer, hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, who's this?
Yes, hi.
Okay. Hi, this is Claudia from Chicago.
Hi, Claudia.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, good. So we
I'm
had
in
about
Canada right now, so.
Everybody's calling from two different places tonight. I'm from Barcelona, just kidding, I'm from Dublin, I'm from California, just kidding, I'm from New York, just kidding, I'm from California. And I love these calls because everybody's from all over the place, like everybody who, like we work at Dare, we're from all around the world, people call in, which is why the call times are a little funny sometimes. It's hard to get the whole world on all the phone calls, so we try our best to stagger them. Sometimes these boot camp challenge weeks are in the evening. My time, like New York time, it's at this time, sometimes they're in the afternoon so I can get other parts of the world. So it could be a little bit tricky, but, you know, we try and find times that you can at least get on one or two of the calls. So back to what y'all pay for, right? Good old anxiety. I just want to give my whole little bit about what this all is so you can know what words I use and what I use to reference things. So bear with me for a few minutes, and then we'll talk about crutches, and then I'll just open up the call. Usually when I do this, I kind of pre-answer a whole lot of other questions ahead of time, because you'll see there's so many common threads. I can have 10 different people on a call, and like it looks like there's 10 different surface level problems, but it's really all the same common thread, which is why Dare is so cool, because you can use it like for anything under that umbrella of anxiety. Because it's not like, oh, my problem's different because I have an elevator thing. Or, and this is usually what I hear when people call me maybe on a one-to-one call or before this version of coaching program, like when we used to just get emails. I don't know. Let me know if this is anybody who might have thought this when they started. Basically, it would start, hi, Michelle. My name is blah, blah, blah. I'm from here. I don't know if Dare could help my kind of anxiety. My anxiety is a little bit different than everybody else's because, and then there's a reason of why they're different than everybody else. And have you ever heard of that before? Do you have any experience dealing with that kind of anxiety? And would Dare work for my kind of anxiety? Because I might be a little different than everybody else. Did anybody have that thought in their head when they first started this?
Definitely.
First started.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, good.
No, never.
Yeah.
I never had that
never.
Thought. Just kidding.
Never. Just like everybody else. And it's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you feel so different than everybody else. Oh, nobody else could possibly get it. Like, they might have anxiety, like quotation anxiety, but I have anxiety. I don't know if DARE is going to work for my anxiety. And it's just the same thing that's always said. So it's usually nice to hear you're special, like in all other areas of life. But it's nice to hear you're not special when it comes to these calls. So just to let you know, not special. And sometimes that feels good to hear that on this call because, you know, these are the calls. Anxiety is the place where everything is backwards. And this is kind of the reason why. What's happening is, and I refer to this whole thing as our alarm system. It's a normal part of our body. We all have an alarm system. We have a digestive system. We have a respiratory system. We learn about all that stuff in school. You know, like we learn what our lungs do and it moves the oxygen through our body and the circulatory system and how they all sort of function together. Sometimes they get a little out of whack and these things happen. And this is how, for the most part, most people in their human bodies, they have all these different systems and they basically, for the most part, function the same way. What stinks to me is that we have this alarm system that never addressed in school, never spoken about as a plain old normal thing that we all have that's designed to keep us alive like everything else until it's a problem. We have to go talk to somebody. We talk about it just like this, very secret. And we go, oh, you have anxiety. It's never like, oh, you have a circulatory system problem. And it's a shame because it's just a normal part of us. We have this system that's designed. It is the simplest system in our bodies. And you don't really need to get into the whole sympathetic, parasympathetic, nervous system, amygdala, and all the different parts of your brain and chemicals. And it's not really important when it comes to what to do. The basics of what it does is that when your alarm system senses danger, it sends you energy to help you fight that danger. Really, really simple. It's like the simplest part of us. It notices you're fighting something. It sends you energy to keep fighting it, whatever it is, right? So I know I'm kind of speaking like I'm 7 because that's how I talk. But sometimes we overcomplicate it, and it feels so overcomplicated. And then we go to a million therapists with a million different approaches and all these different, and it feels like we have all these different problems. We have to do all these different things. It's really simple because, you know, thousands of years ago when we really did have to survive all the time, you know, you live out in the wilderness. You have to hunt for your food. Things are trying to eat you all the time. You have to be on high alert, right? So when you wake up and there's a tiger sitting next to you, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to ask your body to do anything. You turn and there's a tiger and you go, oh, tiger, oh my gosh, right? And your body jumps into action. You react. Something startled me. Oh, it's a tiger. And when you see that tiger and you basically say, oh, shit, it's a tiger, right? You run or you fight it or you freeze so the tiger doesn't see you. You do something to stay alive because those people who did not got eaten by a tiger, right? They're gone. They didn't make it. We are like the generations left of the survivors, right? So here we are now living in this nice, calm, like not calm, but like we're not, there's nobody calling me from, like, the jungle, right, out in the wilderness. We're in our homes. We have Amazon Prime. We're on our cell phones. Life is, it's a little easier. We're not really in survival mode, but it feels like we are. So, you know, what happens is when you're really surviving, when you're really fighting, right, you're fighting the tiger or you're doing something else, pulling people out of a burning building. Oh, my gosh, there's still people in that building. You're running in, you're pulling people out. Your alarm system senses something. She's doing something. She's fighting for her life. She's running out of that building. She's saving people. Here's some energy. Here's a burst of adrenaline. Here's a whole ton of this very high potency energy so that you can do something with it. You've seen, I'm sure, news articles where you get people get like this superhuman strength, right? You're able to do things you normally can't do, right? You can lift a car off of people. You have this like superpowers, heightened senses. It's all for survival. So, boom, here's this rush of adrenaline, and you take all that energy, which is designed to be uncomfortable, right? Because if we were comfortable, we don't care about leaving. We don't care about getting up and running. It's like, whatever. And the tiger eats us, right? So when we're uncomfortable, we tend, you know, we're more likely to get up and do something. We're not more likely to get up and do something if we're nice and calm and relaxed. It's designed to make you uncomfortable, to get you up and doing something. So as long as you keep pulling people out of this building, your alarm's going to check in. Like that energy only lasts maybe 5, 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes, and then it starts to dissipate. Your body starts to wind down. Your alarm checks in again. She's still fighting? She's still fighting. Oh, gosh, I don't know what's going on, but she's still pulling people out of this building. There are a lot of people in this building. Boom, here's more energy. Boom, here's more energy. Psh, psh, psh. And you finally get that last person out. You walk out of the building. You sit down on the grassy slope right next to the side of the building. And you go, done. I did it. That's what your alarm senses. Oh, she's done. She's not fighting anymore. She stopped fighting. So I guess disaster's over. Whatever's going on must be over because she's no longer fighting. She's not running. She's really not doing anything. She's just kind of sitting there. Wind it down, people. So the alarm starts to wind itself down. So your that energy will sort of dissipate. Your body regulates itself. Problem is over, right? The actual danger is over. You've stopped asking for more energy when you stopped fighting, right? Your alarm stops helping you fight. So I know, I'm sure you've all heard some story like that before about that fight or flight response, but I'll just check in. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's super simple. I know everybody knows that. But I say that because sometimes we forget, like, oh, yeah, that's supposed to happen when there's real danger, right? But see, your alarm doesn't know the difference between real danger and not real danger, right? It's kind of like the smoke alarm in our house. It doesn't know the difference between your house burning down to the ground and you just burning cookies in the oven. It just knows, like, something triggered the sensors. That's it. Something triggered the sensors. So it makes the noise. So, you know, in my house, it goes, bah, bah. The dog pees on the floor. The dog runs away. We don't see the dog for 2 hours. You take a dish towel. Who yells at somebody else? It's always burnt cookies, you know. And with the smoke alarm, when the smoke dies down, the alarm turns itself off. Right? With me? So that's how our alarm system works. Our alarm is just being tripped by something. We get stuck. We get a little, it gets a little bit screwed up with us when we're not actually fighting a tiger, but it's not, oh, there's a tiger. What we do, and tell me if I'm off base, it's, oh, but it feels like a tiger. Oh, but it reminds me of a tiger. Or what if there's a tiger? Or, oh my gosh, thoughts of a tiger. Right? Those are basically the top four. Did I miss any?
Not really, no.
Yeah. So I got it? Okay. So
yeah.
We're not actually fighting tigers. We're fighting pictures of tigers, memories of tigers, ideas of future tigers, thoughts of tigers, feelings of tigers. Our alarm doesn't know and our alarm doesn't care. As long as you're fighting something, our alarm system, our protector, our buddy, our bodyguard, he's on our side, she's on our side. It's sending you energy to fight something. So we get stuck when we're fighting not danger, but discomfort. Granted, it's high discomfort sometimes, but it's usually shitty ideas, shitty feelings. I don't like this. They're thoughts that we don't like. They're body sensations we don't like. They're situations we don't like. And to me, it always comes down to the big F word. Feel. I mean, can anybody on this call describe anxiety without using the word feel? Right? Think about it. Can you even describe it without feel? Like, it's not like nobody ever calls in and it's like, hi, it's Jason from Ohio. So I am actually being eaten by a lion right now. But I just kind of want to talk about it. No, like Jason from Ohio has bigger problems, right? Jason from Ohio would actually be dealing with a situation and not really care about feeling uncomfortable. He would be fighting the lion that's eating his face, right? But it feels like, and then what comes afterwards is usually something super duper descriptive, super death and destruction, gloom and doom, worst case scenario, right? Something along those lines. Am I right? Or no? Yeah.
Kind of.
Mine's anybody nodding?
That.
It's worse than the worst case scenario, right?
Mine's worse than worst case scenario.
And we fight it. And so basically we're saying, but Michelle, these thoughts. Oh, this sensation. Oh, but what if? So when we fight something, we think it's like, okay, if I could just get rid of this thing, I'll be fine. It works when it's real, like when it's a real life situation. You're right. When you get rid of the tiger, you are fine because you're not in danger. But when we fight how we feel, our alarm just helps us fight how we feel. We can't always control how we feel. Sometimes we have weird sensations in our body that we don't like. So basically where we get stuck is we fight discomfort. And when we fight something, our alarm shows up with a really bright flashlight and a really big magnifying glass, and it just says, oh, hey, you called me. What are we fighting? Oh, this? Oh, okay. Well, let's shine a light on this and, like, really magnify it so you can see it really up close. And we're going to find any little, teeny little bit of it, whatever it is. If it's a thought, we're going to find anything that reminds me of that thought. Oh, it's the situation you felt kind of trapped. Oh, well, let's find all these other sensations, other situations where you kind of feel trapped too. We're going to shine the light on those and really make you pay attention to that. And here's a whole bunch of uncomfortable energy to help you fight this because you've asked me to help you fight. So our alarm keeps ringing because we keep fighting, but we keep fighting because our alarm keeps ringing. And that's how that cycle kind of picks up. It just knows you're fighting something. It doesn't know you're fighting it, right? So there, my long roundabout way of getting there, but I kind of have to say all that stuff so you can see, like, wow, my alarm is actually doing exactly what I'm telling it to do. You know, I'm bracing myself to take 3 steps outside my front door the same way I would brace myself if, like, you know, a truck is coming towards me. I'm doing the same thing. I'm preparing for danger, and my alarm just sends me energy to help me fight that danger. It's protecting me, and that's what Barry means by it's your protector. It looks out for you. It's here to take care of you, but it takes care of you in this kind of fucked up roundabout way where it, like, makes you feel worse because it doesn't care how you feel. It cares that you're staying alive. But the only way it can get you to do anything is to make you uncomfortable. We just get stuck when we fight discomfort. So dare, diffuse, allow, run towards, engage. It sounds weird, especially like this is, you're only halfway through a boot camp. So everybody's kind of like new-ish probably to all of this, but it's not designed to directly make you feel better. Which is weird because everybody's like, well, what the hell did I pay all this money for? Like, what do you mean? It's because the problem was never about how you felt anyway. How you feel is how you feel. Anxiety lives in the fight of how you feel. So dare is not used to be used as a weapon to get rid of something. And that's usually where most people are getting stuck, trying to. And if it's usually set in code, but I'm trying to feel better. Like you're trying to get rid of the stuff you don't like, right? You're trying to get rid of the discomfort. So dare is really, it's not a weapon to get rid of things. They are tools to teach people how to let go of things we don't like. Let go of, not to get rid of. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, and I say this on a million times on the call, dare is not in discomfort. Dare lives in the fight of discomfort. Discomfort will always be discomfort. You'll never like a shitty thought, right? You're never like, oh, I love the idea of, I don't know, whatever. Give me a thought of like being admitted to the psychiatric hospital for the rest of my life. Oh, I love that. Oh, I love the idea of having a heart attack now. Thanks, Dare. That was great. No, you never have to like it. We get stuck when we fight the things we don't like. So for a while, I was on kind of like this idea of looking, like when your alarm rings, take a look. Is it dangerous? Are there bees? Are there bees? Or does it feel like bees? If there are bees, leave the room, right? Take all that energy and do something with it. Fight the bees, flee from the bees, do something about the bees. For a while, I was on zombie apocalypse. I've moved on to bees. So look for bees and like make it a little bit lighthearted, right? Like, okay, woof, my alarm's ringing. I got all this energy. Is there actual danger? No. Does it feel like bees? Okay, I'm going to sit and I'm going to diffuse, allow, run towards, engage, because it's not the feeling where I'm stuck. I get stuck in the fight of the feeling. And I tend to get people with similar personality types. I get people that are very good fighters. I get, and let me know if you kind of fit any of this criteria here. I tend to get people that are very bright, smart, logical-minded people, analytical people, really good at making associations between things, right? Like, I had orange juice at 10 o'clock in the morning yesterday, and I felt fine. But today, I had it at 10:15 in the morning, and then I felt this funny little feeling. I better never have orange juice after 10 o'clock in the morning, right? We make these associations. We link it all up to anxiety. I get people that are very good at getting things done, doers, the go-getters, type A personalities, just tell me what to do and I'll do it sort of thing. They like to be in control, all or nothing thinkers. That's anybody, black and white thinking. Either I've done it perfectly or it's a disaster. I feel fine or that's it, I'm dying. Not very many shades of gray in there. I have very creative minds, very visual thinkers. It's funny, I never knew there was any other way to think until I met my husband. You know, like I see my thoughts. Like I see the scenario. I guess other people think in other ways, but like we see things and a higher kind of level of like details, I think, than other people. Like just more aware, more tuned in to our body, to our thoughts, to the environment. You can kind of feel a room sometimes when you walk in. You could feel like changes in air quality, like things like that. We're just more sensitive to those sort of things. I don't know. Anybody on there would put themselves into any of those categories? No? No?
Yeah,
I'm on the wrong call.
I would say yes.
Yes.
I would also say yes. So I'm Ash calling from Tokyo. So same thing, too much of analytics. I was very proud of it that, you know, linking everything to everything and having this perfect answers for everything. And definitely, I mean, that definitely is one of the reasons for overthinking because I'm always trying to be too analytical, so on and so forth. So I think you said it right. Yeah.
Okay, just making sure, because there was one call a couple years ago where I muted myself for 20 minutes. So every once in a while I check in and make sure I didn't mess it up. But it's for personality types. We rule the world, people. You know, like I get people that run major corporations. I get a lot of people that run their own businesses. We get shit done. We fix problems. We're the problem solvers. We're the doers. We're the go-getters. we don't die in the beginning of those horror movies because we found every exit 10 minutes before we even got into the building. You know, like we look ahead like that. And that's great for like every other part of life. When it comes to this, it all just works in an opposite way because when we fight discomfort, we think we're actually trying to get rid of discomfort. If our goal is to directly feel better, all we're doing is really fighting. And that's why I get the best fighters, because anxiety lives in the fight, you see? So I'll get people that are like, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. I accept and allow. I accept and allow. Like, you're not accepting and allowing. You feel like you're going to punch me through the phone. Like, accepting and allowing is just like, you just sort of like, you hit that release button and like, your whole body goes slack. You're not fighting. You're not controlling. You're letting go. You're not putting on that lab coat and you're suddenly a research scientist on Dr. Google figuring out why I have this sensation and where is that feeling coming from and figure it all out so I can get rid of it once and for all and get rid of this anxiety. It's the opposite. So I basically, to say all of that, DARE is basically teaching people that are not really good at doing nothing how to do nothing about when you don't like how you feel. But I kind of had to say all that first so that you could get why. As long as you keep fighting, your alarm helps you fight. It sends you uncomfortable energy to keep fighting. So I can have somebody on the call fighting thoughts, and I can have somebody else come on the call and say, oh, I have those thoughts. I don't care about those thoughts at all. Oh, but this heart palpitation. Oh, but this, let me tell you why I fight this, Michelle, because I could really have a heart attack, you know, or, oh, but the derealization, oh, that's the worst. And it's always when somebody says, but that's the worst one. How do I dare through this? How do I dare through that? The same way, you let go of the fight of the idea of that. So diffuse, allow, and towards engage, diffuse, learning how to say, oh, well, so what, who cares? Not to the content, but to the fact that to the fact that I had a thought I didn't like. Because that's honestly all it is. Oh, well, to the fact that I'm feeling something in my body that I don't like right now. And we nod. I've been on a big nodding kick the last year. Nod. You want to nod right along with your alarm. Your alarm's tapping you on the shoulder and it's saying, hey, look at that. And you get to nod and say, oh, yeah, I do see that. You're right. Nod. I don't like that. I don't have to like it, but I don't have to fight it. So, yes, I see that thing that's there. Yes, I see it. Acceptance, right? Accepting. Yes, that's right. There's that feeling I don't like. Nod. Nod, yes, there is a thought. I could think that thought all day long, run towards. But I can think about a tiger all day. It doesn't mean there's actually a tiger in the room. It means I just don't like my thought, and I don't have to like my thought. So, hey, alarm, thank you for pointing that out to me. You can point those thoughts out to me all the time, but I don't have to pull out any weapons. I don't have to run from anything. They're just thoughts I don't like. So what I'm going to do is nothing. Shrug. Engage back in my life. I'm acknowledging that you've rung. Thanks for their super uncomfortable energy that I have right now. But there's honestly nothing for me to do with it. I'm just uncomfortable. Just, big diffusing word. I'm just uncomfortable. And I don't have to like how I feel. And what's nice now is my freedom is that I don't need to control it anymore. You can't really decide how you feel. We get so stuck trying to get rid of fear. Don't be sad. Hang on. Be like, get through it. Fight through it. You don't need to fight through the situation. That's where we got stuck. Hanging on, white knuckling until, elevator door's done. Oh, it's open. Phew, I survived. So your alarm doesn't know what the elevator is. It just knows that you are hanging on until whatever the situation was is over because it just knows when you've let go. So DARE teaches you how to let go even in the middle of discomfort. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does.
Yes,
it does.
Yes.
Mine still works
okay.
than that, though.
Of course it is. And you also want to pay attention. So I'm going to just give two more minutes of just some information, just to be aware of how you're thinking, not what the thoughts are. It doesn't really matter what the thoughts are. Like, oh, I can have this shitty thought, or I can have this shitty thought. I can have this shitty feeling, I can have this shitty feeling. Anxiety loves the past, and it loves the future. It loves going, hey, remember that time you had that thought, feeling, sensation, situation back then? What if you have it in the meeting, you go out with your friends, in the plane, in the train, and like it goes back and forth. It takes a sensation that's just discomfort, and it hooks it into whatever worst case scenario is your worst case scenario, right? Stand up too fast, get a little bit lightheaded, right? Happens sometimes, totally normal thing that happens to people's bodies because we live in a normal human bodies. Oh my gosh, what if I pass out? Oh, I felt like I was going to pass out. I felt like my heart was beating out of my chest, right? Do we not speak more the most descriptive way ever, right? We could write screenplays. I've heard it all. I feel like it just feels like I'm crumbling to bits. It feels like the front part of my brain is made of lead. Oh, I feel like I'm going crazy. So, I mean, tell me, is this how we talk, right? This is how we tend to describe the feelings, right? Super duper descriptive. Yep. Or worse than that.
Yes.
Worse than that, right? So with dare, it's practicing paying attention to how you're talking. It's nodding and just putting it in its place rather than, I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack. Unless you have had a heart attack, you don't know what it feels like. Unless you've gone crazy, you don't know what it feels like. We've just decided that, oh, these things must lead to this worst case scenario. So don't have these things too much, you know, because what if? What if, what if, what if, what if? And all of the what ifs are just other versions of thoughts that we don't like. Ideas of future scenarios. And we try and control those things from happening by getting rid of the sensations we're feeling now. We're not actually doing anything. All we're really doing is fighting more thoughts, fighting ideas. And then we try and reassure ourselves, right? Talk ourselves down. Okay, no, you're fine, you're fine. You're not having a heart attack, you're fine. You've been to the doctor, you're okay. Just calm down, nothing's going to happen. Everything's okay. It's just thoughts. It's just sensations, right? So we kind of get, sometimes we'll get stuck in that sort of mode. And what I'll tell you is that you don't have to do that anymore either. You don't have to convince your alarm that everything's fine because your alarm doesn't give a shit, right? Or nobody would be on the call. It still says, oh, yeah, but what if? Yeah, but what if? Yeah, but what about tomorrow? But what about next time? But what about this thought? Until it gets you hooked again. So it's learning how to really just nod and say, oh, I don't know, sure, you're right. Oh, yeah, okay, sure, I guess that could happen. Sure, that's a possible future scenario, even if it's 5 seconds into the future. But right now, right, and you bring yourself back to the present. You nod at the past, you nod at those ideas of the future. Yeah. But right now, I'm just uncomfortable. Right now, I'm just lightheaded. I could be even more lightheaded. I'm just uncomfortable. It just feels like beef. And it's kind of retraining like a new way of sending this message to your alarm. Rather than hanging on for dear life and trying to get rid of discomfort, dare teaches you how to let go of discomfort. And if you're having a hard time just nodding and letting go and sitting and allowing and accepting, then run towards. And that's the part everybody hates. Everybody wants to skip that one. But it shows like, oh, sure, I can have one picture of a tiger on a wall. Hey, I can have 17 pictures of a tiger on a wall. It's still just a picture. It's still, I don't have to like them, but it's still not dangerous. Maybe I'm more uncomfortable. But my goal is not getting rid of discomfort. My goal with DARE and boot camp is letting go of the fight of discomfort. And the more you practice letting go, the more you show your alarm that these sensations and thoughts are actually irrelevant, unimportant, not happy, like you don't have to like them, but they're irrelevant. The more we try and do something about them, the more relevant we keep them, so the more our alarm keeps the spotlight out for them. So we got to get rid of them. DARE teaches you it's okay. You don't have to like thoughts. You don't have to like sensations. Practice nodding. You practice shrugging. And DARE is designed to teach you to let go of the fight of discomfort, which is why, like, your very first challenge, let's, like, jump right in there, right? Go out and do something that pushes your comfort limit, right? So I'm like, okay, go slow. So it feels good. It feels a little bit better each time. No, go practice feeling that uncomfortable feeling. But so you can practice not fighting it. And I love this day's challenge. I love having the call on this day because today is the day to drop your crutch. So the whole point of dropping crutches, like real situation crutches, you use crutches, right? Break your leg. So you use crutches to kind of help you get around for a while. But in order for your leg to get stronger, you have to drop the crutches and it will be uncomfortable. It won't feel good. Your leg is a scrawny little pink bony thing now, and very hairy, right? Because it's been in a cast for 8 weeks. But it's the healing process might not feel good, but that's how your leg gets stronger. It's not just, like, kind of like going to the gym, right? If I were to go to the gym, which I shall soon, next boot camp maybe, I'd have to start with very small weights, 5-pound weights, and it would feel very heavy when I would first start. And I would probably feel worse my very first day because not only am I out of shape, I'm out of shape and I'm sore, right? But my goal is not feeling comfortable at the gym. Who feels comfortable at the gym? Like when you go to the gym, you expect to be uncomfortable. You don't have to like the gym. The goal is not to like the gym. The goal is what's beyond the gym, right? I'm going to the gym because I want to gain some more energy. I want to lose 10 pounds. I want whatever your reason is for my overall well-being, my overall health. Great. So I am truly expecting to allow discomfort while I'm at the gym because that has a payoff on the other side. So I would just keep going to the gym and I would go every day and I would go every day. A couple weeks go by. I pick up those 5-pound weights. After a few weeks of lifting them and lifting them, how do they feel a few weeks later? How does it feel? 5 pounds. Weeks go by. Easy.
Light.
Right? Light. Right? Oh, my gosh. These weights are so light. 5-pound weight. But, you know, when you really step back and look at it, they're the same exact 5-pound weights I picked up 2 weeks ago. They felt so heavy when I first started, right? And now they feel so light. The weights didn't change. But I did a thing about the weights. They feel lighter because I got stronger. See? So, and that's how DARE works, in this way of not making, like, the dizziness so slowly fade away and get better. Oh, it's okay, Michelle. Next time you go to the gym, those weights will feel lighter. It's not a direct thing. It's an indirect thing. Like with DARE, strength with this is confidence. So when you go and you basically call bullshit on your alarm, oh, you're telling me they're bees? Or you're sending me energy to fight bees? Okay, I call bullshit. And I'm going to sit and I'm going to feel all these feelings, but I don't have to do a thing about it. I'm going to sit and I'm going to nod and I just don't like how I feel. And the more you do that, the more you show your alarm that, like, yeah, I heard you and I've acknowledged you. And I've purposely decided to give you a nod and then just go back to whatever it was I was doing in my life, saying, hey, you can keep bringing. You don't have to shut up. You can keep bringing and come with me. You can come with me to work. You can come with me to church. You can come with me in the car. You can ring, wah, 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 right? Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 wah. It's irrelevant. It's not bees. It's just discomfort. That's how you get stronger. So dropping your crutches today, the whole point of doing it was to get your alarm to ring, right? So that you can practice just letting it ring. So it can practice, like, There's no off button. There is an on button. We can ask for more energy, but your alarm turns itself off. The more we try and fight something, the more it kind of brings again. So it's kind of like, you know, just learning how to not throw another log onto the fire. The fire might still be burning, but when you just stop adding fuel to the fire, eventually it will burn itself out. That's the mindset with DARE. That's the point of all these challenges. And if driving isn't your thing, like, oh, I don't care. I drive anywhere. So I gave it away. I think that's day seven. So it's like driving's not your thing. Like, okay, I don't care about driving. But go out and show yourself, like, oh, I can go in the car. Huh, some people's alarms ring in the car. Hey, alarm, do you want to ring in the car? No, do you want to ring when we're home by ourselves? Do you want to ring when we're out with other people? Like, other, like, different people just fight different things. It's just learning how to let go of the fight. So that's my big spiel. So if you ever talk to me again on like a one-to-one call or whatever, I won't have to do that. But I always want to make sure everybody gets that basic foundation of knowledge. Did I confuse anybody anymore? Does that make sense? Anything click a little differently?
Yeah.
That made perfect sense. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Good, good, good. So I'd like to tie this into the challenge of today's crutches. If anybody, and so like take all of that information and we're going to start speaking, like changing our language a little bit in a different way, right? Like talk about like in this sense, like this is how you're going to go out and do your challenges, where you kind of like bring that yappy little puppy with you. And might bark, bark, bark. And you say, hey, turns out my goal is to not shut you up. My goal is to just live my life. And you want to bark, bark. And the more you kind of stop caring if it barks, the less it barks. Like once you stop trying to feel better is weirdly when you actually start to feel better because there's no more fight. It's a very backward sort of thing, which is why like we have this coaching program because it's so counterintuitive, right? It works on like this paradoxical sort of way. So I'd like to just open the call up to everybody else now that I've blabbed on forever. And I promise I don't do this on the second call. Second call is much more open. So if you don't get a chance to ask questions or get things cleared up or whatnot, the next call is pretty much an open call because it's the last call. I just talk about like how to keep the patterns going. And then it's an open call. But this is the call. I really want to make sure you're doing DARE the right way. So like nobody comes on and says, oh, but I'm still having these thoughts. I must be doing it wrong. It's like, okay, you don't know. Here's those thoughts that I don't like. And I'm going to practice just sort of taking a step back and looking at them, watching them, like just sort of go across a movie screen and nod at them. Don't have to like them. But it's me learning how to not do anything about them. So who dropped their crutches today? Would anybody like to jump on and share and talk or have questions about crutches? And then we'll just open it up to boot camp in general. But I'd love to start with crutches. If anybody would like to share their experiences from today?
I dropped what I feel like was not even a big crutch, but I went to the gym this morning and didn't bring my headset or my phone, which I would probably be watching something anxiety related. I mean, my wife says to me, you got to stop watching the anxiety guy, the DARE guy, the Irish guy. I go, that's bad. And I'm like driving her crazy with all this shit, but I'm like, but I'm okay. Like great. I did it without, and some intrusive thoughts came. And my body didn't react, and then my mind goes, see, you're not having a reaction to these thoughts, so you are like the Joker from Batman, which I can't see, and all my friends said it's the best movie ever, but I can't watch horror movies anymore, I can't watch zombie movies anymore, I can't watch murder movies anymore, because I feel like that's me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I have a reaction from it, when I think those thoughts, but then when my body doesn't react to it, I like miss the feeling of reacting to it, because then it makes me feel even more disturbed. Does that make any sense?
Yep. 100%. Anybody else can relate to that?
Yeah.
Sure. Actually, I rather, on day one itself, I started taking the challenge and I started watching some murder mysteries, because I also had the same thing. I mean, I used to feel bad because there was something in our neighborhood, someone got murdered, domestic violence, so on and so forth, and that sort of got stuck in my mind. But then this week I started watching, you know, I used to like all these murder mysteries or, you know, detective programs and so on and so forth. So I started doing that and stopped. I used to carry my medicine, etc., everywhere. Of course, I did not take any of those, but still used to carry. I dropped that as well. So it's really good. But I have a question which I think I'll ask later. I had posted that on Facebook as well. We can talk about it later once everyone shares their experience.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. But just to go back to the thoughts, I always like talking about thoughts, intrusive thoughts, which I hate that term. I only use it because that's what people like know them as. Because to me, I mean, just think of the term, intrusive thoughts. If an intruder came into your house, you're never going to say, oh, I accept and allow this robber. No, it's like, get the hell out of my house. You don't belong here. So we try and get rid of the thoughts. Oh, gosh, why would I think that? Right? Oh, gosh, where would that thought come from? Why would I think that? Do I want to do something like that? Could I ever do it? What makes me different than that person? That person lost it, and they did all those terrible things. Oh, gosh, why would I think that if I couldn't possibly do it? Am I kind of hitting the nail on the head with anybody here? Right? Like, oh, gosh, better get rid of that thought. Well, you know, what if that's me?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, now I'm having all these racing thoughts, and I better get these under control.
I've at least been there once or twice. Not always, but just, yeah, I've experienced it before at least once or twice.
Yeah, they're actually just plain old normal thoughts. Hate to break it to you. They're not intrusive thoughts because I have an anxiety disorder, and it's that my disorder is making me have all these thoughts. So if I get rid of the anxiety disorder, I'll get rid of these thoughts. It's kind of the opposite. They're plain old normal thoughts. They're just shitty thoughts. You have to like them. They're just spontaneous thoughts that we just happen to not like. Nobody ever calls me with spontaneous thoughts that came out of nowhere of like, oh, Michelle, I just can't stop thinking of these what-if thoughts of, like, I don't know, like, what if I win the lottery? And, oh, my gosh, I win, like, $100 million, and, oh, I just can't stop thinking of, like, what yacht I'm going to buy and which mansion I'm going to buy, and I just can't stop thinking about how rich I'm going to be. No, you like those thoughts. So nobody fights them, right? They're nice thoughts. Nobody fights, like, rainbows and unicorns and kittens licking your toes. They're like, oh, what if I go crazy? What if I kill myself? I kill somebody else. It's always shitty stuff, right? So that's why we think it's the content. We think, oh gosh, get rid of that. Oh, hide all the knives in the kitchen because I'm cutting tomatoes with my spouse. And I had a visual thought of what if. And we lock everything up. Bullshit. Just thoughts. It's your brain's like, hey, what about this? And you're like, no, why would I do that? Let me eat dinner first at least. And like, when you can be almost flippant, lighthearted, it's because it's about the response to your thought, not the thought. Right? It's like, who was talking about the Joker? Who was that?
That was me, Will.
Will. So I'm guessing it's like, what if I go crazy, right? What if I go crazy and I just lose it?
Yeah.
Is that about, yeah? And then what?
Well, I mean.
And then what happens?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I could get as crazy as you want, but I don't want everybody to hang up the phone.
Well, that's what we do is we hook it into every worst case scenario. But when you bring it back to like what's actually happening, you get to nod and say, oh, yeah, you're right. That would suck. I mean, right? Would that be like a legitimate response to that? You're right, that would suck, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it would suck.
Yeah. Okay. And that's kind of all it is. It's just an idea. Like, what if my health collapsed during this phone call? Would that suck? Huh. Yeah, you're right. That would suck too, right? Like, we can. So it's kind of like, it's this idea of not trying to make sure that thing doesn't happen, whatever the content of the thought is. It's nodding and saying, yeah, you're right. That's right. I wouldn't want that to happen. But right now, none of that's happening. I'm just having a thought I don't like. And just because I'm not scared of the thought doesn't mean I'm now going to do it. Oh, now I like that thought. Oh, I wish I was scared because now I'm not scared. What if that means I really do want to do those terrible things? Right? Is that what you were getting at?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not like I want to take up everyone's time, but it kind of, I mean, I'm 49. I've been dealing with this off and on, and I thought I had it licked for 6 years. 6 years I was going pretty good. And then all of a sudden, I had a panic attack on an airplane. I travel a lot, and then I couldn't fly anymore, and now I fly again. So I'm slowly, like, getting back into the groove of things, but it starts out with, like, health anxiety, and then it goes into the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
My anxiety, like, evolves. And then the depression kicks in, and then I'm like, ugh.
Okay, so remember, it's not evolving like the blob is kind of like going into all these other areas. It's more like this picture, like this scared little kid or this little granny. Anybody see my little granny video that I posted on? It wasn't in boot camp, so maybe nobody saw it, where I'm like the little old lady protector. Did anybody see that? I'll post it. I just made it last week, very quickly before the Dare Advance call. So, but it shows like your alarm is really just taking care of you. So it's not like it's morphing into something. Now I have 10 different problems. Like, I'll hear that on calls. It's more like it's just this little guy with a flashlight, and it's just going, oh, well, what about that? Oh, what about that? Oh, what about that? And it's just shining the light on things you don't like, right? So it's always, it'll always be something you don't like, but it's always just your alarm just saying, oh, gosh, what about this? Oh, my gosh, what about this? And you're not taking up the whole call because I'm sure there's no way people cannot relate to it. Maybe it's not a thought, but it's a sensation. It's a situation, right? I mean, could you see how it's all kind of the same sort of thing? It's just we're all fighting different things, ideas of different things, feelings that remind us of different things. And it's learning how to just let go of the fight. With thoughts, I often talk about Stephen King on the calls. I don't know him personally.
I used to love Stephen King. I used to love, you know, I went to film school, and I am in the television industry. So I have, like, creative outlets, and I did want to be a writer at one time. I'm like, man, I could put Stephen King to shame with some of the shit I think of.
Exactly. So it's almost like, wow, like Stephen King. So I don't know if he has anxiety. I would bet money on it, though, that if he did, it wouldn't have anything to do with intrusive thought, right? Maybe he's got, like, worry about a plane or whatever. But, like, for somebody like him, if he wakes up in the middle of the night or he's cooking eggs and suddenly has this thought of, like, clown, sewer, blue children, what? Oh, my gosh, that's awful. Give me more, right? That's inspiration. Oh, that's so scary, right? But he wants more of those thoughts because that's how he makes millions of dollars, right? So you might have the same thought, and it's like, oh, my gosh, what the hell is wrong with me? Oh, go away. Same thought. Two different people, same thought. But one's like, yes, give me more. Then I'm going to write another 1,000-page novel and turn it into a movie and then make a ton of money, right? But for us, it's like, oh, gosh, why would I think that? I must be some sort of monster. Oh, I have to get rid of these thoughts. And we fight it. And all we do is ask our alarm to send us more energy to fight. Do you see the difference? So it's not the thought. It's what we're doing against. It's like us fighting the idea of the thought.
Quickly, if I can ask the question related to this, actually. So, similarly, I mean, as I put on Facebook, mine is like, it's progressing in, I don't know which direction, is it right or wrong, but I do not have like these violent thoughts, etc. But I feel very, now, as I mentioned, I had been always feminist, etc. I feel so sorry, and that becomes very, you know, sort of emotional feeling inside me, which I feel in my stomach as well, that, oh no, why on this earth would be happening, why people go crazy, and so on and so forth. So now there is no this fear feeling, but this feeling of, you know, sadness, or, you know, emptiness, or, you know, sort of boredom, that why am I thinking this way, etc. Is this all part of this whole story of anxiety, or you know, or is this something different? And
yeah,
these are the spells, you know, it's not like that for entire day, it's
right,
just for a few minutes, yeah.
Right, and sometimes, but that's just it. We become so, like when you watch a scary movie, right, and then after the movie's over, what was that? You hear every little creak in your house, the same old creaks and noises that were in your house before the movie, or when you watched a comedy, but now your senses are heightened. So now you're basically, it's just your same old body and brain doing whatever it's doing on its own anyway, but now we're looking at it with like a 1,000-watt light bulb. So now we're seeing and noticing everything in such slight fluctuations. And we're so focused in. And like when you look at something under a microscope, you ever see like a dust mite under a microscope? It looks like some robotic monster. You can see like the hair on its legs. But it's like you can't even see it with like just your eyeballs, you know? So we're seeing things so zoomed in, it's becoming so important, and we're noticing every slight little fluctuation of everything we don't like. Oh, gosh, there's a twitch. Ooh, there's a feeling. Ooh, I don't like this feeling. Oh, for 10, 15 minutes, I kind of feel this feeling. Is that anxiety? And, like, now, so same thing. We're just fighting discomfort, whatever it is. And if you ever, anybody's on DARE 101, that's, like, the theme always. Anybody ever have this? Anybody ever feel this? Anybody have this? Anybody ever experienced this? Does anybody have this? It's just people with really bright flashlights shining their lights on things that their body's just doing anyway. But when our lights aren't so bright, we don't notice all that stuff. It's just sort of irrelevant, you know? But same thing, after a scary movie, our senses are heightened. So no matter what it is that anybody will say on this call, it always comes back to the same thing. Letting go of the fight of whatever it is you thought you've needed to get rid of. And that's what, like, dropping the crutches today is supposed to be like, kind of like a run towards, like, you know what? I bring my phone with me to the gym as like a distraction, right? Like to focus, because I don't want to have my thoughts. So you know what? I'm going to the gym and I'm leaving my phone at home, and whatever happens, happens. And there's a good chance my alarm is going to ring. So I'm going to practice just letting it ring. Go. Has anybody heard my audio is out there somewhere? It's about go spaghetti. Anybody ever heard that term in there?
I don't think so.
Oh, so you will at some point. I said this thing on a group call years ago. And as soon as I said it, I was like, oh, gosh, Michelle. It was ridiculous. I can't believe you just said that. But it clicked with people. And now that's kind of like the term that everybody uses. And it's, I just kind of like laugh when I hear it. So I have three little kids. And anybody with kids can relate. Anybody who's ever been to the mall around Christmas time who have seen children anywhere, like in a restaurant, can relate. You ever see parents, or as a parent, you try and, like when your kids have just had a long day and you're out somewhere and they're just done and they kind of just like crumple to the floor and you're like, get up,
yeah.
Right? And you stand them up and they act like they have no bones in their body, right? Their legs just kind of like noodles. Yeah. They're like, I can't move, right? You're like just kind of holding them by the armpits and they're just kind of like those collapsing toys. Like,
I do that all the time.
So that's, I call that, they kind of go spaghetti. They turn into like a pile of spaghetti on the floor, and there's the parent, usually with like tons of shopping bags and shit, and trying to drag the kid out, and have like a lot of coats on. The kid's like, I can't walk. That's go spaghetti.
So that's like the image of what you want to do, like physically too. Like you can't just say, I step and allow, and you're tense and tight and hanging on and you're waiting for it to go away. That's white knuckling. You're surviving. You're in survival mode, so your alarm will help you to hang on. If you're hanging on, your alarm's going to ring to help you hang on. Go spaghetti. Like you got to hit that release button, and you just sort of like crumple into a heap on your seat, in your chair. Like fall onto the floor. And that's go spaghetti. So it's like, that's what you want to do. When your alarm's ringing, it goes, ah, hey, Will, you better watch out for those thoughts. Your first reaction might be, oh, gosh, brace myself. Then you get to practice. Nope. Like that whole go spaghetti. Physically, mentally, nod, shrug. Yeah, sure, whatever. All right, well, I'm going to go crazy. You know what? Like, but I don't even have any face paint. I don't even have, like, white paint on my face. My hair's not even green. All right. Well, if I'm going to be the Joker, I'm going to have to go to the store. I'm going to have to go to Walmart, get some green hair dye. I have to get some face paint. You know what? I'll do it after dinner. I'm going out to eat. I'll do it after dinner. So you see, it's like you're not fighting thoughts. You're not pushing it away. You're acknowledging like, whatever. It's an idea. I can't be bothered with the whole face paint at this point right now. I'll have to be like a Joker without the makeup on, I guess. If I'm going to go crazy, like I might as well like do it before I wash all these damn dishes. Like what's the point of like washing the dishes then? You know, and you kind of be playful with it, even though it doesn't feel like a playful thing, but you're showing your alarm it's not actual danger. It's just the idea of danger. I'm fighting ideas of things, not actual things. So we'll always have ideas of things. We'll always have feelings of things we don't like. As long as we're still alive, we still have brains, we're still going to come up with thoughts. It's just that you get a freedom with this of just learning how to just stop fighting yourself anymore. You don't have to like how you feel, but there teaches you how to not fight how you feel. We get stuck in the fight of feeling.
Well, that's true. So because I really do not want to feel empty, sad, or boredom, etc., I think you're right that I'm trying to fight it out, and that's where it is actually I'm struggling right now. But is that
right,
common?
Right, and so normalize that.
Yeah.
Normalize that. So like, oh, I don't want to feel empty and sad. Oh, and what call do I ever have that somebody's like, oh, actually, I love that. I love feeling empty and sad. That's like my favorite feeling. No, it's totally shitty stuff, right? It's always like, oh, I don't like heart palpitations. Oh, I can't catch my breath. I feel like I'm going to pass out. Like I was saying, it's always the stuff that nobody likes, which is why we try and get rid of it because we're normal people. Right? We seek pleasure and we avoid pain. We want to feel better. We are just very subtly fighting discomfort. And when we fight discomfort, we're fighting something. And our alarm just knows, fighting. He's fighting sadness. And so instead, you get to say, all right, right now, right this very second, this moment of time, I feel sad. Yup. Nod. I'm nodding my head. I don't like how I feel. Oh, well, I don't have to like how I feel all the time, 100% of the time. I'm just so darn tuned into it that every time I notice any little fluctuation of something, spotlight's on it. So I'm going to just let the spotlight shine on it, and I'm going to look at it, but I'm not going to do anything about it anymore, right? Okay, well, I don't like how I feel right now. Right? There's periods of the day that I feel that. There's periods of the day that I have a thought I don't like. There's periods of the day that I have things that go on in my body that I don't like. But like, it's learning how to be the observer, stepping out and watching it and nodding at it. And you don't have to like how you feel, but you're learning how to not fight how you feel. And that's diffuse, allow, run towards, and then engage. Okay, oh, well, it's just feelings I don't like. They can be here all day long. They can be here even stronger. Those are all the three ways that I show it's just discomfort. But I'm choosing to go out to work. I'm choosing to go to the gym. Even if, like switch the what ifs to even if. Even if I have thoughts I don't like. Even if I'm going to go crazy in an hour. Right now I'm not. So even if I don't like how I feel, I'm still going to the gym. I'm still going out with friends. I'm still getting on the train. Okay, you're right. Whoop, there's that feeling. There's that adrenaline rush. Yep. Nod, nod, nod. I am spaghetti. I'm not pulling people off the train. I just don't like how I feel. I feel like I need to do something. I feel like I need to get up and run around. Okay, well, I don't have to. I choose to just sit here. I'm just choosing to allow myself to just be uncomfortable. And I'm going to let my alarm wind itself down. And it winds itself down by seeing that I'm not asking for any more energy. You see? It's such a backward sort of thing. So I know there's a few quiet people in the background. Anybody else want to jump in or share or have any questions about this?
I mean, I can share a little. I think maybe just the reason why I decided to choose to even read the book, I guess, in the first place.
Sure.
So after my, it's something that I noticed that I guess essentially when I was a child as well, but it's not something that, like, I don't know, I don't think I recognized because I was so young, but I had my first panic attack when I was, I think I was in fourth grade, and I didn't know what it was, but I ended up running home from school because the nurse didn't believe that I just didn't know what it was, you know, because I had no idea. I was like, what the heck is this? I have no idea. I just know that I don't feel good, you know. And I ended up just leaving, like running, because the nurse wouldn't call my father to let me go home. So that was whenever I first experienced my first, like, actual panic attack. But I didn't know that. My dad didn't know that. My dad just thought I didn't want to be at school. You know, like when I was younger, it wasn't anything that we discussed or talked about. You know, I wasn't a child that, you know, was on medications. I didn't even go on medications until after my father actually passed away in 2008. But since then, that's when I started having the issues and they became more stronger and stronger to where, you know, I got diagnosed with agoraphobia. And that's the reason why I decided to read the book in the first place is because you know, it was something that, you know, it wasn't written by doctors, it was written by somebody that, kind of like you were saying, you know, I mean, you know what it feels like. It's written by somebody that knows exactly what you're feeling and has been exactly where you are. Not just written by a doctor by, you know, because, you know, you do question. You're like, have you ever actually felt this way before? Because, like, you, even when you talk to your friends about it, it's like, you know, like your friends are like, I don't really know what that's like, but, you know, and when you go see some therapists, or even they're like, well, I've never experienced that, but I kind of feel anxious sometimes. So they're like, you have no idea, but, you know, I mean, I'm not housed on agoraphobic, but I mean, I am able to go out and I do try to push myself. And today for me, I usually use my phone or I'll be on the phone if I go out driving. And I don't drive very far. You know, my circles become pretty small. And my fear is mainly the fear of fear at this point, because when you're agoraphobic, if people aren't familiar with that, like, it's, you know, basically, like, once you start having one panic attack, you start, like, avoiding going to those specific places because you think that you're going to keep having it go. Even if you've been there 1,000 times before, if you have one panic attack there, you're like, right, I'm never going back there again. So that's pretty much, like, what I've been struggling with probably for the last, I would say, like 8 or 9 years. Like, and my dad's been passed away for, like, 11, I think, at this point. But I know that it started gradually getting worse as I got older and was, you know, all these things started happening. And then, you know, I realized my safe zone wasn't my safe zone. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm not safe anywhere. Like, you know, I started. Anyways, I could go on forever, but, like, that's pretty much, like, my story. But today, I actually, when I did go out to drive, I wasn't on the phone. And I feel like that is a big step for me because usually I'll be on the phone when I'm driving. No matter how far I go, no matter what distance I drive, talking to somebody, it just, for some reason, comforts me in a way, you know, to kind of push myself a little bit further because, I mean, I don't know. I've been in a car accident before, so I don't really like people riding with me because that's another issue I have too. So I do drive when I drive alone, but thankfully I'm not housebound agoraphobic. But that's just a little bit about myself and kind of the things that I struggle with as far as that goes. And that's why I just like looking for any means to help. And
that's a good job.
I'm trying. I'm trying very, very hard. Like, I've tried a lot of different therapists, therapy, you know, and everybody talks about exposure, and that's what I've been trying to do. So thank you. I really appreciate that, because it's the baby steps, and sometimes you don't always see it as a win, but then you're like, oh, it seems silly, but like, you know, like I try, you know, I get up every morning and I'm doing this routine, and it has been uncomfortable, you know, because I don't usually shower in the mornings. I shower in the evenings, and I definitely don't take cold showers. So, like,
the cold showers have been very difficult.
Yeah, it's been extremely uncomfortable for me, you know, and even for me, like, the meditation, like, and I can meditate in different forms, and I've explained that to my friends, too. You know, where I've said, you know, there's different ways to meditate. I can play my ukulele and feel, you know, relaxed almost immediately, or, you know, something like that, you know, as opposed to just sitting. But like you were kind of saying earlier, you know, you just have to, I don't think we're used to just sitting still. Mm-hmm. And we feel like we have to do things. So that has definitely been a struggle. You know, but I was a little bit more comfortable today with the 7-minute meditation. It's not something I usually do, and it's hard for me to just sit. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to stand up and do something. I can't just sit here, because I feel like my brain is, like, it's just those thoughts. I just get those racing, like, thoughts, you know, in my brain, and random things will come in and out. And it's just, I feel like I should be doing something, or I should be talking to someone. So those are just kind of some of the things that I personally struggle with. And I don't know if you guys can relate to any of that as well, but that's the reason why I'm here, and wanted to, at least to give this a chance to see if it's something that would be beneficial for me. So.
Yeah, anybody want to respond?
Anything?
I think you're in the right spot.
I'm trying so hard. I really, really am. The thing is, and even my therapist and my, like, psychiatrist are like, you know yourself so well. I said, I know the thing. The thing is, I do know. I have to do, it's just doing it and pushing myself to do it, and making myself uncomfortable, and being like comfortable with those uncomfortable feelings, because at this point it's the fear of having that attack that I don't want to have, because, you know, I don't want to go out with my friends and, you know, have that feeling of having to dismiss myself because of that. I want to be able to enjoy my life again, because I'm 35. I don't know how old you guys are. It doesn't really matter, I guess. We're all different ages, but, you know, like, I used to have a lot of fun. I used to go out and, you know, do all these things. I never used to be this way, and so it sucks, and, like, I want to be a better friend, and, like, I, you know, I want to be able to go out and hang out with my friends like I used to, and just be free of, like, all of this, like, worry of fear, you know, that tiger that you talk of, you know, you talk about or whatever, you know. So I'm just like, oh, I just hope it helps. You know, I sat with my anxiety, and I went without my, you know, my crutch today. I still did take my Xanax, because I definitely need to have, my mind needs to calm down sometimes, because it does race quite a bit. But I don't know. I'm the same way though. Like, and I don't know who was speaking earlier, but I don't want to be numb. I don't want to, you know, be on a lot of prescription medications personally. You know, even though my doctor's recommended a few different ones to me. I like myself. Like, I like who I am as a person, and, like, I don't want it to change me. I want to go back to being at least part of the person that I was before my dad passed away. So it's kind of like, that's the struggle that I've been, like,
but just a new thinking habit.
Yeah.
So this will be really about you being aware of, like, when you're going, I'd say exposure therapy. This is why I get the best fighters, because you've been through exposure therapy and CBT and all that stuff. But, like, when you're using it for the right reason, like, I had this woman years ago. She was in the military. She was, like, high-ranking military, right? So good fighter, right? Very good fighter.
Yeah.
Literally a good fighter. So she spent, like, a small fortune on this nationally known exposure therapy something, where they basically, like her thing was driving, so they kind of threw in a car or a jeep with a bunch of people and just drove. And the idea was, like,
oh, yeah, once you finally see that nothing happens and you're fine, it's gone. That was like, I'm oversimplifying it, but that was like the essence of it. So she did this, like, so for 30, 35 minutes, she does this exposure, and then she joined Dare, and she's like, it was the worst thing ever. Oh my gosh, now I really can't get in a car. I'm like, but you see, it's not the car. It was because you were a really good fighter. So you hung on the entire 35 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So you basically told your alarm, I'm in warfare for 35 minutes, right? And
there.
When the car stopped, I went, oh, I did it. War is over, you know? So that's the message. You're sending your alarm. So when you go out, you no longer are suffering from agoraphobia. Bullshit. Done with that nonsense talk. It's like, my alarm rings sometimes. It thinks I'm in danger when I go out. So this time it's going to ring. I'm just going to say, honestly, all of Dare is summed up in my beautiful, colorful language of honestly, oh, fucking well. That's Dare in a nutshell. When your alarm rings, and he goes, oh, what about this? Oh, what about this? He says, oh, fucking well. I'm going out anyway. I'm going out with you. My goal is not comfort. My goal is freedom. I choose freedom over comfort. We get stuck with trying to be comfortable to get our freedom back. And the more we fight discomfort, the tighter our comfort zone gets. Because now we notice every little fluctuation of discomfort. So it's really, if you use the F-bomb as much as I do, use it. This is the time to use it. If you don't, say something else. But, like, it's really, like,
I love the F-word.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Good. Then you're on the right call, too.
I will say, I do say it.
So that's the
it,
mindset.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't speak like that, that's fine. But that's the mindset. Yeah. It's like arms out to the side, like a big shrug, and say, oh, but what about this? Oh, what about this? Oh, what about this? You get to look at it and nod and say, I hear you. I hear you. Oh, fucking well. I'm going out. And I'm not playing this whole story of, oh, somehow I'll get my life back and I'm suffering. But bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on. My alarm wants to ring. Ring. You can come ring. You can come with me. Come in the car. It's kind of like a backseat driver, right? So you get to drive the bus. And your alarm might say, oh, what, oh, Jennifer, is that right? Is that you?
It's Jennifer, yes. Uh-huh.
It might say, oh, Jennifer, what about this? Oh, Jennifer, what about that? Give it a voice. Like, you'll hear my voice is like little old lady from the Bronx because it's kind of like my Nana. I'll post the video when we get off the call. And it's like, oh, my God, what if you die? What if you have a heart attack? Oh, what about this? Watch out for this. You don't want to exert yourself too much because what if? And it just goes on. And then when we feed it, it's like, oh, you're right. What if? You're right. You're right. Shh. I don't want that to happen. And I want my alarm to be quiet. Now I'm freaking fighting everything. It's more like, you know what? Let's go. I'm done. I'm done fighting. I don't need to fight my own protector. My protector is just confused because I'm freaking fighting everything right now. So it might keep ringing for a while, but by what I'm doing, it starts to wind down and say, well, she heard me. She absolutely heard me. She acknowledged me, but she's doing exactly what she's choosing to do. Like, I have this little story. My oldest daughter, Emily, she was younger. They have ceiling fans in their room, you know, and the switch for the fan, there's one button for the fan on the wall, and then there's one button for the light. So it's the one button is on and off, the on switch and the off switch. So I'm saying goodnight to her one summer, and the fan was on. She's like, will you turn the fan off, Mommy? I'm cold. Sure, Emily. So I press the button, say goodnight, turn off the light. 2 seconds later, she jumps up. Mommy, I asked you to turn the fan off. The fan's still on. The fan's off. I turned it off, Emily. No, you didn't. It's still on. It's still on. She jumps out of bed, and she presses the button again. Now she really turns the fan back on. So this went back and forth for a while because, you know, my daughter has half of my genetics, so very similar personality type. Emily, watch. Like, just because you press the button doesn't mean it immediately comes to a stop. The other thing we're not good at, giving time. We're not good at, letting things flying down, right? So you press the button. I'm like, look, when you press the button, you cut off all the energy to the fan. So it's still moving, but it's off, right? The blades kind of have to come to a stop on their own. But every time we go in and we mess around with it, right, press the button again, we just keep turning it back on. Just let go. Don't do anything because there's nothing left for you to do. Your alarm has rung because it sensed something. Maybe it got a little mixed up. Maybe it has a memory of something. Maybe it's made all these associations because you fought every time you've been in that grocery store the last 100 times. So if you fought it for 100 times, it's going to say, well, oh, there must be a bomb or something in there somewhere because every time she goes in there, she's kind of like this. So we're going to help her be like this.
That's
right?
What it feels like. Like I'm fighting like something invisible basically every time I have like, what in the heck? Why do I feel this way? Like I feel like I'm fighting like something that's not there at all ever, you know? Like I'm like, what the heck is going on? I've been to all these places. I just had a friend that moved into the city and she really wants me to take her around and I've been to all these places thousands of times. But every time I start to drive to certain places where I've had those attacks or whatever, you know, I'm just like, oh, my God. Maybe someone else, I'm not sure. Sorry. All right. But, yeah, but any time that I go to those places, I'm like, oh, my gosh, because I'll remember that immediately. And I'm just like, there was something bad here, but I don't know what it was. You know what I mean? And
right.
It sounds so silly when I say it like that, but it's like, but nothing was bad there at all. It was just like, I don't, you know, I'm like, I can't explain it, but I just have to leave. Like, you know, like, that's why I decided to choose to read the book and to go ahead and pay for the boot camp because I kind of wanted to have a more of an interaction to talk with, be able to talk to people that, you know, had been through the same thing that I'd been through. Because I haven't, truthfully, none of my friends, I mean, maybe like one of them has even had a panic attack in their entire life, but I'm like, they don't even know what one feels like. I was like, you will know if you've ever had one.
Right, or that term is so overused, right? Like, oh, I can't get my eye out of it. I'm having a total panic attack. You're like, girl, you
don't even know what the heck you're talking about. If you've had one, well, I think I've had one. Oh, no, you would know if you've had one.
So when you go out, you want to go out, and this is everybody in the call, like the hunter. Like, this is like Barry and I were like yin and yang, right? He's like that good old, like the nice soothing Irish brogue, right? It's like, right?
Yeah.
Who's that, Will? Like, oh, the nice Irish
belly breath.
Anxiety guy. I'm the opposite of that. I'm like, just go fucking get it. Like, go out. I'm not even going to say, it's okay. You're going to be okay. It's more like, yeah, you're right. I might not like how I feel. Sure, you're right. I might have a panic attack. Oh, fucking well. I might not like how I feel. I might feel like I need to leave. Okay, well, I'm going to leave, but I'll leave in 2 minutes. I'm just going to sit here for 2 minutes, though, or 2 seconds, but I'm going to choose when I leave. I feel like I have to leave, but I don't have to leave. I just don't like how I feel right now. See, sometimes just changing those subtle words, like, makes a big difference. So, like, for example, like when you were talking about, like, you have a panic attack somewhere, of course it remains.